This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Welcome
back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs.
Happ hits a high drive deep to left. Dickerson at the wall. It's gone! A go-ahead home run for Ian Happ on a 1-2 pitch.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Now he's got all the tools.
And man at third and only one out. That is going to be caught by Happ on the dive.
A run-saving play by Ian Happ. Spectacular catch out there in right center field. Ian goes headlong on the sinking line drive and hauls it in.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Because the timeline, they don't need to decide. There's no end to free agency.
Right, even like a trade deadline trade, like right at the last second.
Like that's what the NBA does. The NBA puts a time frame when your free agency has to stop at whatever, and then at the last second, it's like bang, bang, bang. That's what happens with arbitration too. Arbitration, the deadline is noon on January 15th. So no deals get done until that morning. And then like there's a dead period of like 5 hours after 12 o'clock and deals get done in the dead period after because they just compress everything to the end of the time limit. If you wanted free agency to move quick, just put a date on it. Say it has to be done by this date and everybody would freak out.
Ian Happ on the Dan Bernstein Show on 670 The Score. Welcome
back. Ian Happ and friends on the Compound Podcast. He joins us on the Alphamonte Ford Hotline, Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You follow him on Twitter at IHAP_1. I was thinking about you last week, too, because we were lighting candles every night. I was remembering somewhere you still have to have the Ian Happ preschool menorah that you made, right?
Oh, yeah. That's still at my mom's house. We celebrated Hanukkah for a few years in the Happ household.
Any Christmas plans this year? I know it's hard to do the get-togethers, and it's hard to make sure that everybody's been in this like these social pods. And because you've been back and forth from Chicago to Austin and other places, how are you going to handle this holiday?
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to see my family this holiday. We're spread out, we're staying away from each other, so it'll be a tough one and a different one, that's for sure.
I know as a football fan, you've described yourself as sort of a fake Bears fan. And I always say, like, there's no such thing. You're root on your terms for whoever you want. But I'm wondering where your heart still may lie when it comes to Cincinnati Bearcat football. And if there ever was, did you go to games? Obviously, I'm sure you had a lot of friends that played there. How badly did Cincinnati get screwed this year?
Yeah, definitely went to a lot of games when I was there. It's such a beautiful stadium right in the middle of campus. So it was really cool. The baseball field was right next to the basketball stadium or arena, which was right next to the football stadium. And so for us, that having that right on campus and being able to walk down and go to all the football games right in the middle of the university was really cool. But I tried to stay away from tweeting and talking about Cincinnati football this year because I didn't want to. In the past, I'd gotten a little excited and jinxed the run. So finally, when they watched the game, when they finished it off, the perfect season, I tried to throw my support. Obviously, the committee didn't agree. It's just so tough. How can a team that goes undefeated, I know maybe the strength of schedule isn't the same, but it plays through a pandemic, goes undefeated, and then doesn't get a chance to play for the national championship. It's really difficult. Maybe they expand the playoff. Maybe the system needs a little tweaking. But they had a great season, and I look forward to seeing them. I think they're in the Peach Bowl.
They are. They're in the Peach Bowl against Georgia, I believe. So they got to play Georgia on home turf.
Yeah, I look forward to watching that game, and hopefully they can pull that out and prove that they were worthy of the top four consideration.
Now, when I was in college, our center fielder was also the kick returner and punt returner and was a defensive back on the football team. He had a pretty decent major league career. His name was Quentin McCracken. And he was he was a terrific athlete, a really nice guy. So I'm wondering, did a football coach ever approach you and say, "Hey, come by for practice. I want to see how you return a punt."
Nope, not one time. I don't think we ever had, when I was there, anyone who tried to play both. I think right before I was there, they had one of the quarterbacks tried to play both for a little bit. But when I was there, the Bearcats were really good. Tuberville came in kind of right as I was leaving, and the program took a turn for a few years. But when I was there, they were winning 9-10 games a year, competing for the conference every season. So they needed no help from me.
Did you ever play growing up, like flag or Pop Warner or anything?
A couple years in middle school. Played for 2 years of middle school, and then in high school, back-to-back flag football championships.
Oh,
my junior and senior year.
There's
so,
fluff.
Yeah. So, maybe a big deal, maybe not. I don't know.
So no podcast this week, and I checked because we're doing Thursday on a Tuesday because we can, because the holidays always mess everything up and change everything around. But you miss your boys? You're not going to check your screen time or do anything like that?
The podcast will drop today. It'll drop by noon Central today. It'll be out, and then this is our last one for the year. So little teaser, anybody who's listening right now, we had Steven Souza on. We had him on last night. Got it all edited last night, and then it'll drop by noon today, and you'll have your last compound for the year. We're going to take next week off, but this Souza's interview is one of our longer episodes. I think it's right around 45 minutes for the whole episode. Souza was an incredible guest. This is I love everybody that we've had on. This was the most I've laughed with a guest. This was, I think, our best interview yet, and maybe our best episode yet. Souza's, I hope the jokes aren't too inside and too, just from my months of playing with him, but it was really, really good.
Didn't you say he's your favorite player?
Steven is my favorite player. He's hilarious. Like the perfect teammate in 2020. He was not selfish, was not, he was just a dude that he always kept it light. He always kept the energy high. His benefit to our team in the dugout was he was such a big part of our team when he was with us. Kept everybody loose, kept everybody having fun off the field. Just a really great guy, really good person. So I'm a huge Steven Souza fan.
How much team communication is going on right now? Like, what kind of outreach is there? Just trainers or Rossi or anybody just kind of making sure that, look, we're not that far away from some things starting to matter as you're already in your self-described phase two of conditioning.
Yeah, not a ton of communication from the top. You're talking to strength coach, trainers, like other staff members. I was able to talked to Chris Valleca a few days ago, which was great. He's come on as our assistant, and I have a prior relationship with him through the minor league. So awesome to get to talk to him. You speak with the trainers, they'll check in on you every couple weeks. You speak with the strength staff, they'll check in on you every couple weeks. I'm in Chicago right now, so to be able to go into Wrigley this week and next week and see some people will be great. But that's, there's not a ton of communication just because we're all professionals. You trust your guys to be able to do the right things in the offseason, prepare themselves for spring training.
I was reading a Joe Sheehan piece, and he was comparing the reports that the information that the players' union provided about revenues and expenditures, and compared and contrast it with the owners and how the owners say, look how much money we lost, look how much money we lost. And the information for the players, when I looked at it, I said, no, you really didn't. And it's incredible how differently the very same set of accounting facts can be spun in totally different narratives.
Yeah, you don't really see the players coming out and saying that we took a 63% loss this year. That's not the narrative from the players, because we didn't lose any real money. You know, guys still got paid. Guys still made more than zero. We didn't have to give anything back. So it's really tough to claim loss when it's just money that wasn't realized. But that's the case on both sides, right? The case is there was a projection for earnings, and nobody mm-hmm. met their projection for earnings. And that was the case in 2020. That was the case for many businesses across the world in 2020. And you don't see players coming out and using that narrative, you know, player, because it would go terribly, right? You would have no fans sympathetic to a professional baseball player for not making 100% of their salary and only making 36, 37%. But that's the narrative that's being spun on the other side, and it doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's all right.
They bragged about it before. They've said, "You show me, I can take a $4 million gain and show it to you as a $2 million loss," and that has been the owner's skill for a long time. So here's the question, though: did you see Tiger Woods' son Charlie swing the golf club?
That is a beautiful strike. His swipe is really good looking. I'm trying not to put any fan pressure. As much as I would like to see Charlie Woods be a phenom, he's 11 years old. He's a kid. He's in front of television screens and just trying to have a good time with his dad. So I'm not trying to get too excited about it. I'm not trying to hype it up too much, but it was fun to watch. And it was fun to watch the way that they interacted and Tiger having a blast with his kid. That was really cool.
That was mannerisms. But see, to me, his take back looks more like Dustin Johnson than Tiger Woods.
Oh, interesting take. A little bit more of the bowed wrist.
Yeah.
I mean, he was hitting some bombs and very accurate off the tee at 11 years old.
It makes me miserable. I don't know. I'm happy for him, and I know there's something about it. It's just not fair. And it's also, yeah. And look, maybe he doesn't want to be a golfer. Maybe he wants to be a dentist, and more power to him. And I always use the example of however many kids, you know, Andre Agassi and Steffi Graf have who aren't tennis players. And it just reminds you how, and sometimes people need to be reminded how incredibly difficult it is to be a PGA Tour player and how few sons or daughters of these PGA Tour players actually make it. I mean, you can count them on one hand, really.
And when you're watching that event where, you know, there's either tour players playing with their dads or fathers who played on tour playing with their sons, and there's so many of them, and they're good players. They're very good amateur golfers, but by no means are they tour level players. I saw there's a couple sports books that are taking bets on whether Charlie Woods will win a major by 22 or 25 or
that's
his
gross.
Tour card.
That's unseemly.
It's crazy, and you think how many major winners have there ever been in the history of golf? And then you're gonna bet on Charlie Woods to be one before the age of 22 or before the age of 25. I mean, it's crazy. You know, you get very excited about it right now, but when you think how many major winners have there ever been in the history of the world, I think
right.
That's a number that I like to use in baseball too. It's like how many people have ever done this in the history of the world. And that's when your sample size gets pretty small and you can see, all right, that's pretty impressive.
Ian, always great checking in. And by the way, if you haven't listened to the second new Taylor Swift album, I'm sure you have, but it's similar in the quality of storytelling. It's really good stuff.
Oh yeah. Been blasting that. So I will continue through the holiday. Have a wonderful new year.
You too, man. Thanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.